My name is Peter, and I am the son of Jonah. I am a follower of the Rabbi Jesus. Like my brother and disciple James, my home is in the town of Bethsaida in the province of Galilee. My brother Andrew is also a follower of Jesus, and we were in the care of our mother and father. We were taught the ways of fishing the sea. Our father was a good teacher, as was his father and his father before him. They'd all taken their boats and their nets out to sea to make their way in the world. I am sure that had not Jesus made his way along the shores of Galilee and drawn us to his mission, Andrew and I would still be casting our nets by day and taking our rest in our family's home by night. And after my weakness of spirit and my cowardly denials of my Messiah, I yearn with all my heart to be back in my home in Bethsaida. My dear friend Jesus said to me that I would deny him three times, and I pledged to him that I would not. I said to him that I would die for him if that act would spare him harm. But I could not even muster the courage to admit that I knew Jesus, and I certainly would not say that I was his disciple. And now he has been arrested, and he may be put to death by his enemies. But where are his friends? Where are his followers? We stand back in the shadows, cowering like sheep.
I am Claudia, wife of the fifth prefect of the Roman province of Judea, and I am the niece of the Emperor Augustus. I am of imperial blood, and my marriage to Pilate was as much a matter of politics and it was a consideration of affection and love. However, as we have passed many years together, I have grown to care for him and seek to help him and protect him from those who wish him ill. The time before my marriage, I lived in a great villa on the eastern escarpment of the city. Rome is truly the greatest city that man has ever built. But now I must live in the dirty scullery of a country that is as different from my beloved Rome as night is different from day. And now the Hebrew priests seek to draw my husband into their petty plans to silence this troublemaker, Jesus of Nazareth. I have advised my husband to have nothing to do with this man, Jesus. I pleaded with Pilate not to be involved with this man, for a violent reckoning came to me in a dream, and I suffered much on account of this man's death. My premonition has been cast aside, and Jesus has been scourged, and now the mob cries out to have this man Jesus crucified. My husband will curse the day that he allows this man to be put to death.
Stand here and look out over this city. Is not Jerusalem the most glorious city that your eyes have been privileged to behold? I have lived in this city for all of my days, and I will live here through my old age, and I will most certainly die here when my life draws to a close. There are those who have not had the teachings of our faith and are ignorant of the rules and standards handed down to us, the ancients. They are the rabble that defy our authority and would tear down all that we have built to glorify God. The priests and elders of the temple have had to deal with many self-proclaimed prophets and charlatans who pretend to be the Messiah so as to prey upon the simple people. But this blasphemer, Jesus, he is apart from the rest, for he is truly dangerous. He preaches the commandments of love and peace, but seeks to destroy the authority of the Sanhedrin. He is a misguided fanatic who must be stopped, and his ministry must be ended. If this Jesus of Nazareth will not recant his blasphemy, and if he cannot be silenced by prison walls, then his death may be the only end. But what is one man's life in the balance of the continuation of our traditions in the worship of God?
Here I am, a small and broken sparrow in this vast and dark world. My home is empty now, as is my soul. My dear beloved husband Joseph has come to the end of his days. My beautiful son, whom I will cherish and love all the days of my life, has been chosen by God to follow a path that leads him away from his home in Nazareth. My dear husband's tools sit idle now, for my son is not a carpenter. He is a rabbi, he is a prophet, and now he is a prisoner. The Roman prefect has had him flogged and beaten. The crowds call for him to be executed. My son has done nothing against the laws, but that does not matter. He has spoken against those in authority, and for that he must now be punished. The Roman occupiers and the priests of the temple have learned the same lesson. If you have a rooster whose crowing causes you annoyance, you simply cut off its head. If you have a man who speaks the truth and that truth causes you annoyance, then you nail him to a cross. I pray to God with all my heart that I could have the strength to pick up my son in my arms and carry him home. Carry him away from this place and this fate. But I know all too well that my prayers will not be answered.
Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and elders had gathered. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." "How foolish of you to leave the safety of your homes to gather together here. Have you not been told that your Messiah has been arrested and taken away to answer for his blasphemy?"
"Yes, it is so. For Jesus has been taken to be judged for our lives.
There is talk in the streets that one of his chosen has betrayed him. And the rumors go on to accuse one of the disciples of denying their rabbi. How can these accusations be true? If Jesus is the chosen one, why does God not protect him from these perils? The whispers. One they called Peter, bowed the priests and the guards as they took Jesus away. As he was alone in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it and said, "Hey, surely this man, Peter, has the strength of his faith." Is there no one who can come to the aid of this man?
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." The Sanhedrin guards bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said to him in reply, "You say so. Is there no one here present who will help this innocent man?" Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. "Is there no one here present who will help this innocent man?" When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" "Is there no one here present who will help this innocent man?"
Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us." This was the man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. They kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time, he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for this sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding, with loud shouts, that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder. And he handed Jesus over as they wished. The Roman soldiers pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. "You are a follower of this man, Jesus. Will you not stand up and defend this man and save him from execution?" A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. "You are a follower of this man, Jesus. Will you not stand up and defend this man and save him from execution?" And they came to the place called the Skull. They crucified him, and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." "You are a follower of this man, Jesus. Will you not stand up and defend this man and save him from execution?"
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." And carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothing among themselves. For my clothes they cast lots." When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Where is your almighty Lord now, that this great prophet, who claims to be the Son of God, is dying on the cross?" Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdalene. Where is your almighty Lord now that this great prophet who claims to be the Son of God is dying on the cross? It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. Where is your almighty Lord now that this great prophet, who claims to be the Son of God, is dying on the cross? When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. After a time, the body was brought down from the cross and placed in the sepulcher. Where is your almighty Lord now that this great prophet who claims to be the Son of God is dying on the cross?
After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts.
Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do. And now, dear Father, I am coming to you. I have told my brethren many things while I was with them, so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to this world, just as I do not. They are not part of this world any more than I am. Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself entirely to you so that they also might be entirely yours. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are, I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world we know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me so that they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began. Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fear not, for I tell you that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Greater love has no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Woman, this is your son, John, my brother. Behold, this is your mother. Honor thy mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My God, why have you forsaken me? Look upon me and see my suffering. They have pierced my hands and my feet, and they have numbered all my bones. They divide my garments among thee, and for my vesture they cast lots. I thirst. Here is my body on the cross to bear your sins, so that, free from sin, you might live in righteousness. For by my wounds you have been healed. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Will you pray with me? Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son Jesus Christ delivered and saved all of us, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us your peace. In the shadow of the cross, we ask your blessings. Amen. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid.
Jesus, we wait here by your tomb, for we know not where to go or what to do. We wait here and carry the grief of the lost, the grief of the heartbroken, and the grief of the bereft.
We wait here by your tomb, for we know not where to go or what to do. It is finished.